Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, November 30th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 20, the first paragraph, You May Already, reading through two paragraphs ending with, As We See Them, commenting on both paragraphs. Today's readers are 12 Steps Sharon W., 12 Traditions Martha M., reader of the text Shelley E., Lisa B. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Sandy W. The reference number for Sunday, November 29th, special edition is 15,876. That's 15876. And for this morning, Monday, November 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 15,882. That's 15882. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Leslie M. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sharon W. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Sharon.
Hi, this is Sharon W., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sharon W., and I'll now ask Martha M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service and have a great day. I pass.
Thank you, Martha M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 20, the first paragraph, beginning with "You may already," through two paragraphs ending with "As we see them," commenting on both paragraphs. I will now ask Shelley E. to begin reading. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Shelley E., a compulsive overeater in, where am I today? Oh, I'm in northern Texas. The Big Book, page 20. You may already have asked yourself why it is that all of us became so very ill from drinking. Doubtless, you're curious to discover how and why, in the face of expert opinion to the contrary, we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. If you are an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may already be asking, what do I have to do? It's the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. We shall tell you what we have done. Before going into a detailed discussion, it may be well to summarize some points as we see them. Again, I'm Shelley, a recovered compulsive overeater in northern Texas. I was trying to remember today where I was when I first read this part. And when I joined or went to my first meeting of OA, I had never heard of it. I was 58, 57 years old, and I don't know how that I had missed it. I'd certainly tried everything else, and I had every book by every doctor. And my MO was to get the book, look at the first page, and jump to the back. You know, there could have been recipes. There could have been, this is the way you do this. Follow this. Have this for breakfast, this for lunch. And that's the way I would go about it. And I would go from diet to diet that way. I think I already knew the science stuff and then just go right through it. And I remember when I started OA, I had the idea that I was going to do the same. I was just going to walk in the door. They're going to tell me what to do. And I was going to follow this diet. And thank God that's not what it is. And thank God I can't skip to the back on this one. It requires me to go through every line. And every time I go through it, every line is different or I get more from it. And I would just say for the newcomer, stay. Don't go anywhere. Don't try and skip to the back. Don't it's beyond my wildest dreams. I never could have imagined the recovery that I have. Like others, my house is full of food for the other people who live here, and I'm not even tempted. I don't even really see it as food. I'm just not interested. So anyway, thanks for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. And I'll now be opening up the lines to take names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share this morning?
Paul L. from Florida.
Was that Paul L.?
Yes, ma'am.
Melissa G.
Okay. Martha G.
Elena C.
Martha, Jody, Elena
C.
Donna
C. Donna B.
Jody E.
Jody E. Okay, let's see. I have Paul L., Martha G., Elena C., Donna B., Jody E. Did I miss anyone? Okay, let's go ahead with that lineup. Good morning, Paul, and you'll be followed by Martha G. And Paul, if you would please tell us what state or country you're calling from so that those who wish to may contact you from the member list. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. My name's Paul, compulsive overeater from Florida, Northeast Florida, Marina Beach. And I am just so grateful to be here. I hadn't been to a meeting in a few days and through Thanksgiving. And by the grace of God, I haven't had the desire to overeat in a long time other than passing thought. And I just wondered that one part stuff, what do I have to do to get over this? What do I have to do for recovery? When I came into this program, I had been in probably about 3 months before I actually became abstinent. And I knew, for coming from another fellowship, I knew what I had to do. But I was so frustrated that it wasn't working at first. And I was very impatient. And someone eventually took me through the steps. And by the time I got to the 12th step and started helping other people, it was one day I didn't eat at night. And then it was 2 days, and then it's 3 days. Now it's been 5 months, and I feel like, and I say this all the time, I hate repeating myself, it just feels like 5 years, you know, and whenever I'm tempted, I recoil, like from a hot flame, like it says, and I feel that sense of freedom. And I also want to say on a side point that, you know, sponsoring people, I shared a little, maybe even a little negative a while back in this group, and I wanted to apologize to anybody if I offended about sponsoring people. I had a realization about how, you know, not everybody is going to go through the steps as fast as I did. Not everybody's going to be willing enough to do it the speed that I did it at. Some people lag, and I have to be patient with them because it's about them. It's not about me. And that was a realization I had. And since then, it's always nice to have that freedom of, I was wrong again. So I'm just real glad to be here, and I won't take up much more time, so thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Paul L. And now we'll have Martha G. share with us, followed by Elena C. And Martha, please tell us where you're calling from. Good morning,
hi,
Martha.
Hi, it's actually Melissa G. from Michigan.
Okay.
So I was reading this, and you know, I was on the first meeting this morning, and it makes me laugh because just yesterday I was in, you know, sitting on the pity pot saying, you know, why is this me? Why can't I just be normal? Why can't I just have one? And thanks to the tools that this book has gave me, I did some meditation, I made some phone calls, which is very out of characteristic for me, and which is the what do I have to do part of it. And because I actually took those actions, I believe I made it to 30 days today, which I'm very thankful for. And I know that I just have to stay in it this time because I've had 30 days before, and then I forget that I'm willing and I forget that I'm worthy of recovery and I throw it all away. So just grateful to be on this meeting, and thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much, Melissa G. And was there also a Martha G? Or was I just hearing things? Might have been hearing things. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead with Elena C. followed by Donna B. Good morning, Elena, and please tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Elena C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Greenville, South Carolina. And I was struck by this, just what do I have to do question. Like, for me, when, like, I had a relapse and two sponsors in between. And the first sponsor, I was interested in what do I have to do, but I was also interested in what I have to hear her say that I have to do, but also interested in my will that I'm going to have to do this and this. And I was not ready to do something, two or three things that she was telling me to do. Among those were to stay in step 10, 11, and 12. And as a result, I relapsed. And, you know, when I got my second sponsor, I was told, who told me, you'd work this program as though your hair is on fire. I laughed about it. But I said, I'm going to have to do exactly what you tell me to do. And I was more desperate than the first time. And what's interesting is that, like, in a face of expert opinion on the contrary, nobody is interested to say, find out why people don't recover, but we recover, like, by working on the steps. And it is amazing that in this book we find all the questions that we have when we are ready to recover from this seemingly hopeless situation. And that is, get a sponsor, you know, work on your food plan, get rid of all triggering food, and work on the steps. And then after you work on the steps, just stay in maintenance, which is step 10, 11, and 12. So that's why I'm so grateful to be here and grateful for this community. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Elena C. And now, Donna B., will you share with us, followed by Jody E., and then I'll be opening up the lines again to take more names. Good morning, Donna, and please share where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, Colorado. I came into OA in 2001, and I remember asking, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? I was completely baffled by the idea of abstinence. When I came in 2001, I was definitely not introduced to the Big Book. But what I like to share is that I always did what was asked of me based on the methods of recovery which were made available to me. So I continue to ask the question, what do I have to do? Between 2001 and now, a lot of life has happened, both for me personally and for everybody around me. And by staying close to the rooms and by continuing to watch the miracle of recovery in others, I have never stopped asking the question, what do I have to do? That question brought me to the Vision for You. That question brought me to my first Big Book sponsor. That question then brought me to another Big Book sponsor. And on it goes. I've recently been introduced to a new prayer practice, a new methodology for going through the Big Book. I really embrace the set-aside prayer, constantly asking God to set aside everything I think I know about myself, about the Big Book, about meetings, about recovery, about God, so that I can have an open mind and a new experience and continue to see the truth. So with that, I will just say that I'm grateful to be recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. I very much live in a position of hope, and that hope is driven by watching the people around me who continue to grow and thrive. and the miraculous things that happen in their lives. And when I see a miracle, I ask, what did you do? What do I have to do? And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. And Jody E., if you'll share with us, please, and tell us where you're calling from. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in California. So exactly what do I have to do to recover from this seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, this cunning and baffling malady that I have? Well, that's exactly what this book is for, this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which I believe is a sacred text, and that does spell it out. It tells us exactly what to do. And if we take the hand of someone who has worked these 12 steps and let them guide us through the process, which I highly recommend having a sponsor, we too can recover. We just have to do the next right thing, one step at a time, staying in the present moment, not getting ahead of ourselves. We aren't accustomed to doing the next right thing. We've been doing the next wrong thing for years. And this is a new way of living, a new way of life that we have to begin to practice. Fortunately, we're not alone. We have a higher power that we can lean into, that we can trust and rely on to help us do the next right thing. We also have each other, our fellows in recovery, and we need to make that leap of getting out of our isolation and starting to call others and reach out to others, which is very difficult for most of us. But we're learning new skills, we're learning new practices that will make the difference. I'm so grateful. Thank you all for being here, because I too have to continue to keep an open mind and continue to ask what I have to do and how I can be of more service to my fellows and to my higher power. And that keeps me in fit spiritual condition, being willing and ready to serve my fellows with the help of my higher power. I am just a human being. I can't do any of this alone. But I have something, this greater power, that will enable me to do the things I need to do. And as I lean into that power, my faith grows. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody E. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines. We're on page 20, the first paragraph, starting with, "You may already..." Going through two paragraphs, ending with "as we see them." And I'm going to ask that although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Denise J.
Denise J.
Linnea B.
Linnea B.
Donna W.
Donna W.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, I have Denise J., Linnea B., Donna G., Deborah G., Wendy M., and Jordan L. And Denise J., if you'd start us off, and please tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Denise J. I'm calling from Chicago suburbs. Oh, my gosh. So, God, it's so funny. You know, in my quiet time today, I was like, oh, I can't get on the call today. I've got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all these things that get in the way. And the truth is that if I want to be recovered, I have to do what I'm told to do. I have to do what God wants for me. What my higher power wants is for me to be 100% connected to Him. 100% connected. So I do it or I don't. And, you know, I get the choice. It's amazing that it's a reminder to me I have to do what I'm told every day, day after day. This isn't an accident. This isn't, I don't accidentally become abstinent. I don't accidentally become peaceful. This takes work. And here's the thing, is that the coolest part is that I know the secret, if you will. I know the steps to take. I mean, how long had I lived and not even knowing what to do? How many people do I come in contact who are looking for the relief and the solution and don't know it? And so I guess at this point, I'm just in so much gratitude that I have been blessed to know this. Like, why have I been chosen? And then I'm also grateful that God called me to my quiet time today and just said, hold up, girl, you know where I want you. So you either do it or you don't do it. And I'm often reminded of something where God says, you know, you think you don't have the time. How about you just leave it up to me? You know, and that's what my higher power says. How about you just leave it up to me? My job, you know, the outcomes are none of my business. My job is to simply be here, share, listen, learn, do. I can't just absorb. I can't just know about myself. I can't just wish things to happen. I have to do the work, and part of it is being here, and you guys are teaching me so much, so I'm so grateful for that. Thank you. Let me pass.
Thank you, Denise J. Linnea B., will you share with us this morning, followed by Donna G.? Good morning, Linnea, and please tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning. My name is Linnea B. I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. What an amazing introduction. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I, you know, recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. I'm just like, oh my God. So these paragraphs, you know, as I read them, I think about the first time I read through the big book and the hope and the explanation of the illness that I have. I mean, because I spent years trying to figure it out, but here, you know, it gives us an explanation of how I got this way, you know, and then it tells me that there's a way out. I mean, the hope of it, you know, it's like being in a desert with no water, and then all of a sudden seeing that there might be a little, you know, a little glass of water over there on the hilltop or the top of the sand dune or whatever. So just absolutely brilliant, a brilliant way out. And so, and of course, you know, ask, what do I have to do? You know, okay, so now, you know, I'm hopeless. I got here, which is completely true. When I found a vision for you in June, or actually I think probably end of May of this year, came back to vision. So what do I have to do? You know, and that's the purpose of the book to answer, of this book to answer such questions specifically. You know, and so they have already recovered when they wrote this. You know, they were writing a book of their experiences. It's not a theoretical essay, you know. It's not what they hoped might work. It is a book of their experiences. And so, you know, the woman who took me through the book, she told me, she said, you know, if you do what they did, you can have what they had. Well, that's okay. So tell me, what do I have to do in order to get a relationship with a power greater than myself that will relieve and remove my problem? Because lack of power is my dilemma, obviously. So let me get the stuff out of the way so that I have a clear channel to my higher power. And then let me, you know, have the willingness to listen. So shouting from the rooftops the hope of the 12-step program of recovery. Thank you, God. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Linnea B. And Donna G., your turn, followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Donna, and please share where you're calling from.
Thank you, Dana. This is actually Donna W., and gratefully calling in and abstinent today and in recovery, calling in from Palo Alto, California. And I just want to claim my seat to say I'm an abstinent. I'm a compulsive eater. And more than that, you know, is that I'm powerless, not just over food, but my body and the current, you know, the pandemic and working from home and my family. And I'm just feeling really powerless these days and powerless over my body and my weight and work and so much. And, you know, when I get stressed, my tendency is to go into self-reliance and control. And guess what? That doesn't work. So I just really am here to say, like, I need to lean into my higher power because I'm powerless. And the more I try to have power, the more I fail. And the more I, you know, I feel, I try to control things. And then guess what? I feel like a failure. So I need, I'm asking for humility today to know that I'm not running the show and that I do have a power greater than myself. And that power is running the show. So I just need to let go, let God. And then I get to relax and take it easy and stop struggling, right? So just want to turn all that over, you know, having a lot of feelings this year that it's just life's been very full and heavy, and I'm willing to have that humility that I'm not in charge. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna W. And now Deborah G., followed by Wendy M. And Deborah, if you'd share where you're calling from. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Dawn. I'm Deborah. Recovered compulsive overeater from Arizona. And thank you so much for your service, Dawn, and all those that have made this meeting possible this morning, and all the shares that have 12-stepped me this morning. And I'm going through the steps right now, and I'm on step 12. And I can honestly say right now that I can say I'm recovered because of a hopeless condition of mind, from a hopeless condition of mind and body. From where I was at before my sponsor started taking me through these beautiful 12 steps and this beautiful book. It's like I've been awakened and learning, and having this transformation that feels so good that I want to carry that out to somebody else in this 12 step that I'm doing right now. And just a short, brief thing that I've learned. In step one, I learned honesty. In step two, I learned hope. In step three, I learned faith. In step four, I learned courage. In step five, I learned integrity. In step six, I learned willingness. In step seven, I learned humility. In step eight, I learned discipline. In step nine, I learned love. In step 10, I learned perseverance. In step 11, spiritual awareness. And now I'm learning in step 12, service. And I'm just so grateful that I can do this with someone else. And thank you all.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. Now, Wendy M., will you share with us, followed by Jordan L., and then I'll be opening up the lines to take a couple more names. Good morning, Wendy, and please share where you're calling from.
Yeah, good morning. I am a compulsive overeater recovering. I'm calling from Boulder, Colorado, and just thrilled to be on the line. I am so happy. First of all, I'm abstinent. So that is incredible. And, you know, in the past it would have been, yeah, I'm abstinent and I'm going to get on the scale. I'm abstinent and I'm going to get on the scale. And that's not exactly what's happening. I love the feeling of what I get from being entirely abstinent. And, you know, everything else kind of fades away. It's incredible. The other thing I want to say is I love waking up in the morning, and that was not the case before I was abstinent. And it says here, what do I have to do? And, you know, for the last 20 years in OA, I have been dieting with group support. I didn't know that. You don't know what you don't know, right? So the last month or two, I've taken steps 1 through 4. I'm on step 4 now. And I'm like, really? That's what the book says? I had no idea. And I was sponsoring Envision. And it's okay. You know, and the truth of the matter is, it says, what do I have to do? I'm only interested in that question if I'm desperate. I'm only interested in that question if my life is not working, you know, in a desperate way. And thank God my life is not working. Thank God I'm doing the step work. I got to tell you, step 2 was, the question was, what are you agnostic about? And it was basically everything, actually. You know, and then step 3, she says, what are you controlling and what is it? What, you know, basically, what are you controlling and managing? And again, it was everything. And I hit those steps in a way I'd never touched them before. I just wept. And I really got to see how I walk through the world, not in a shame-based way, but in a way of enlightenment, like, oh, and now I'm on step 4. I read my sponsor, The Resentments, this morning, you know, and it was like, you know, and she just said, so how you're walking through the world just isn't working. And that's what we get to continue to see in these beginning steps, you know, is, oh, my God, I do that. Oh, I did it again. I did it again. And basically it's, you know, you guys have to be a certain way so I'm okay. Every time. So it says here, what do I have to do? You betcha I'm calling her in the morning and saying, what do I have to do? It's no longer Wendy's show. It's no longer Wendy's plan. You know, the other day somebody said to me, well, were you abstinent last year? Oh, yeah, I was abstinent. I had a couple more pieces of fruit, but I was abstinent. I didn't even know I wasn't abstinent. You know, it's just this clearing out of the brain, clearing out the heart. Thank you. And then I get to do whatever she tells me to do. It works. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy M. Jordan L., please share with us and tell us where you're calling from. Morning, Jordan.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Cool. My name is Jordan L. I'm, excuse me. I am a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on the line with you guys this morning. these real specific paragraphs, it's funny, right? Like, everyone's kind of keeping it short and sweet this morning, because it is. These are some real specific paragraphs. What do I have to do? And we shall tell you what we have done before going into a detailed discussion of what we have done. They're going to summarize some points. But it's funny, right? When I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 2012, I wasn't really paying attention to what you all had done. like, to be very honest, I was still on my own agenda. I had an idea of what it was that I was going to do. I wasn't super concerned about what you all had done. And it's all good. That's totally fine, because when I came back in 2017, I was really, really clear, I was really, really unsure of what to do next. So I was asking that question, what do I have to do? Because I don't think that you start paying attention, like really, really close attention to what other people have done until you're asking yourself that question first, what do I have to do, right? So when I started asking that question, what do I have to do? And I started paying attention to what others had done, I read Bill's story the way that I had never read it before. And I noticed that Bill and I had a lot in common, especially when it came to step two in our conceptions of a higher power. And Bill says, he has a line back in his story, "For myself, I had adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest I disregarded." And he's talking very specifically about a higher power, and in his case, religion. He had adopted those parts of religion which seemed convenient and not too difficult and disregarded the rest. And I realized coming in here that's what I had done with the 12 steps. I had adopted the parts that I felt I needed and disregarded the rest. So I'm very grateful that that is something I realized early on in step two. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. We are on page 20, the first paragraph, starting with, "You may already," reading through two paragraphs. And I'd now like to take a couple more names to see who else would like to share on this paragraph. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Leah S.
Leah S. Do we have someone else who would like to share?
Rowena Kay.
Rowena K?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Let's go with Leah S. and Rowena K. And Leah, if you tell us where you're calling from. Good morning.
For sure. Thank you so much, moderator. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful meeting, all of you. My name is Leah S., and I'm so grateful in Brooklyn and recovered. I'm going to read just one little bit. "We have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body." Some of you might think that we have recovered and now what? What do I have to do? Well, my abstinence is contingent upon the maintenance of these 12 steps. So, you know, what is my reward for being abstinent? And for, you know what my reward is? That I remain the same size that I have been in 2015. I'm having healthy boundaries. These steps are telling me how to behave in a situation. And, you know, one of my sponsees said, "I don't want to list everything that, you know, there's some things that are too painful to go through. And, you know, it's just going to come and bite you again." Because what I have found is that what I didn't want to share, that's the very same situation that God put me into just a couple of weeks ago. And it was so obvious, and I knew how to behave, and I knew how to keep healthy boundaries, and I got my integrity. I got my Leia. This is Leia today, and this is Leia who no longer does this behavior that I did in the past. What do I have to do? How can I even begin to say what this program has done for me and keeps on doing for me? With that, I will pass.
All right. Leah S., thank you so much for that share. And now we'll go on to Rowena K.
Hi, my name is Rowena Kay from the United Kingdom. Thank you for letting me share. And I guess I have asked myself that often in the past, what do I have to do? And like what someone else has already shared, I only asked myself that when I was absolutely desperate. You know, it was only when I was desperate that I was open and willing to do what I had to do. And it took a long time to get to the desperate, willing place, desperate enough to do what, you know, was suggested. And the first thing I can remember doing, and this was some years ago, was actually being able to be told what to do by someone else, because I will never, I never want to do what someone else tells me. You know, when someone tells me what to do, it's like, I'm not doing that. But I had to learn how to do that. I had to learn how to tolerate having a sponsor, you know, and following suggestions, and, you know, not listen to my own logic, because that's what got me into, you know, into the disease and into to the place that I was at when I needed help. And I think the next sort of most important thing was actually being willing to follow a food plan that someone else had given me, because I wasn't, you know, I was not prepared to do that. And that was always the thing that sponsors wanted. And just, yeah, taking on the suggestions, really. And, you know, following a food plan, and that means being entirely abstinent. That's what I have to do today, is being willing to stay, you know, to stay away from foods and to actually, you know, the last one that I remember putting down was unsweetened soy milk, because even though it's unsweetened, there was something in it that was triggering me. And when I did that, you know, that really rocketed, for want of a better word, you know, my abstinence. It made it, you know, the binges became, you know, fewer and fewer. And then the thing I had to do after that, as well as obviously, you know, doing all the steps, is living in 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, I'm taking on sponsees. I don't have a sponsee, but I'm willing to do it, and I keep putting myself forward to do it. And yeah, and it's just staying connected to the program and having the humility to know that the mental obsession comes back. You know, the belief that I can eat like a normal person. I was in the supermarket on Sunday, and I saw a new version of M&Ms, and, you know, that mental obsession, that belief that, oh my God, that's one I never tried, and I should just buy that right now and try it. And thank God that thought didn't stay with me. You know, the mental obsession didn't take hold. But it only helps, it only works if I keep in fit spiritual condition, and if I'm honest with my time, myself when I'm not. Thank you very much for letting me share, and I'll pause.
Thank you, Rowena Kay. And we do have time for a couple-minute share if someone would like to share and hasn't shared in the last few days. Is there someone out there who'd like to share?
Claire B., Vancouver.
Claire, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Claire B. in Vancouver, British Columbia. As so many people have already shared this morning on what do I have to do, I'm a baby in OA. I've been here on this journey for 6 months, and my abstinence has restarted a couple of times. So I'm about a week in on no sugar, no flour, and a weighed and measured meal plan. And my own grandiosity and self-centeredness is really what keeps playing with this abstinence. And by really hearing the words in step one over and over again, it's like I've finally understood what it means to be willing and desperate and teachable. And so, yeah, I just really wanted to share for anybody new out there, this journey you're on, you are going to hear different parts of it the deeper you go. It doesn't all come at once. Some of it's confusing, but that willingness to learn what you have to do, keep following it, keep coming back. I'm now at a space where my, I think it's step 11 practice of meditation and higher power is really the root of where I get tripped up. I'm so stubborn to feel my feelings, and that's what always takes me into the food. So I'm practicing that. I've had some pretty big breakthroughs with really feeling what's going on. Feels crap. It doesn't feel good.
you really feel it. But then the support of the fellows, the support of the meetings, really being able to talk to my higher power, who I named, which also really helped, have a chat with Ellie.
Time.
really does help with what I have to do. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Claire B., and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lisa B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Yes, good morning. My name is Lisa B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.